The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Russ Briley, Rory Delaghi and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's Haydock, Chepstow and Newcastle on Friday afternoon, Musselburgh, Kempton and Kilbeggan in the evening, so plenty of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark. Warming up to a exciting weekend racing, isn't it?
It is. Got some good racing coming up at Haydock with the Sprint Cup, the big race there. We've got some good racing coming up in the next few weeks as well. We're going to talk about some of that actually in the news, Mick, but before we get to that, we'll just start with the Flat Jockeys Championship, because we had some interesting developments on Wednesday. Richard Hughes riding a treble, and with Ryan Moore banned now for 4 days from Thursday onwards, the gap's only 10. Do you see Richard Hughes closing the gap?
Yeah, I think he will. Yeah, he's got some good rides booked over the next 3 or 4 days, and I could see it almost being level by the time Moore gets back.
Yeah.
Which would give it a bit of life, a bit of a kick-start. I don't think Moore really is chasing it, but Hughes, he wants it badly. And but Ryan can't stop riding winners, can he? So, and that'll keep propelling him forward. So it's good. It's good that it's breathed a bit of life back into it, if you like.
Yeah, because at the end of July, Richard Hughes was 26 behind Ryan Moore. Mm. Now he's only 10, and there's a 4-day ban coming into it. The betting changed quite significantly yesterday. 4-5 for Ryan Moore, and Richard Hughes now 10-11 to win the champion jockey title for a third year in succession.
And Ryan is staying longer, isn't he? He went to Japan quite early last year, but he's staying longer this year, not going off as early. So, he'll be batting away till the end of the turf season.
Yeah, hopefully they'll keep battling out to the end. It'll give it an extra dimension, won't it? A bit of news with regards to this weekend's action, Mick. The Sprint Cup at Haydock is the big race there, and we found out that Amy Ryan's going to ride Astaire, and that'll be her first Group 1 ride for her. Today, we're learning that Pat Smullen has been booked by Ollie Stevens to take the ride in Extortionist.
Yeah, Pat was booked to ride Majestic Queen for Tracy Collins, so he's obviously jumped ship from that. Tracy won't be happy about that, but Extortionist ran a mighty race, didn't he, at York, and it's no wonder Pat wants to get on him. He's had a great time of it with his trips to the UK this summer, and yeah, he goes there with a great chance, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Just looking at the betting, Soul Power shortening all the time, by the way. Now 3-1 favourite for the race. Gordon Lord Byron, last year's winner, 9-2. 7-1 for Tropics, 8s for Music Master, Extortionist and G-Force, both 10s. 12s for Hot Streak, 14-1 for SK Love, 16-1 for Cougar Mountain and Pearl Secret, and 20-1 are bigger prices for the others.
Two ways of looking at that, isn't it? Is Soul Power going to win his first 6-furlong contest at Group 1 level at the age of 7? You could say, well, another furlong wouldn't have stopped him winning the Nunthorpe, but it's 5 furlong races and 6 furlong races are in a completely different tempo. It might sound bizarre, but they are. So it's just a concern, but he has got the right man on board, and he is the sprinter of the moment, Soul Power. But I think Gordon Lord Byron is going to be very hard to beat myself.
Yeah. Last year's winning, it'd be something to back it up, wouldn't it, to win it 2 years in a row? So is that the way you played Gordon Lord Byron against?
Yeah, yeah. Joe O'Brien was going to ride him, but he's been claimed to ride Cougar Mountain now, hasn't he? So Tom Hogan is looking for a different jockey, and I think that will be Wayne Lord, and I'm sure Wayne will ride him.
Okay. While we're on the subject of the O'Briens there and some of the Irish runners, let's talk about the Irish Champion, because that's warming up to be a good race. Australia obviously going to be, I imagine, well, he will be favourite for the race. Kingfisher's in there with him, and every time that they've been in the lineup together, Australia has won.
Yes, it's you can see what they're thinking of now, and it's he was with him at Epsom and at York, and I don't think he particularly looks like a horse who needs a pacemaker. I don't think he's a pacemaker as such, is he? He's more of I don't know what he is, but he's not out there just a blast away, is he? And be very interesting to see what happens in the Irish champion. I suppose Irish champion, then our champion, and that'll be Australia. Probably, what will he do after that? Is he going to go over to Australia or not? I don't know. It's interesting because he has got overseas connections, hasn't he, involved with him. So, I don't know. We'll see. But I would think that'll be the domestic season concluded anyway, won't it, with our champion stakes in October.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of the Irish champion, McAdram is set to race against Australia there at Leopardstown. Finished fourth behind him in the international stakes. Does have something to make up on him, but be good to add him to the lineup, won't it?
He wasn't himself at York. Never travelled, hanging, pulling, warming. He got very warm down at the start, which is not like him. Mm-hmm. I think the King George, the first three in the King George all came out and got beat next time out.
Yeah.
I think that tells you something, doesn't it? They all had hard races, and I think Willie will have known that, and be doing his best to freshen him up. And that'd be good to see him back. Whether he's had enough time to recover, I'm not sure, but be good to see him back.
It will, and be good to see Noble Mission in the lineup as well. Reading the other day that he's going to also contest the Irish champion, and reading the paper as we record this on Thursday, apparently he's done a nice piece of work, pulled eight lengths clear in a piece of work, so he's obviously in fine form.
Yes, and that horse that beat him in Germany last time, Germany, the German horses have got very, very strong form credentials, and the horse that beat him in Germany, whose name just escapes me, had been beaten 10 lengths by See the Moon the time before.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing, is it? See the Moon's pretty impressive.
Absolutely, but I'm just saying, just how good is See the Moon?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Yeah, well, he's going to go to Baden-Baden, isn't he, for a prep race for the Arc, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on, still unbeaten, of course. Noble Mission finished second to Lucky Lion.
Lucky Lion, yeah. In Hamburg, was that?
That was in Munich.
Munich. You have a look at Lucky Lion's previous run, Mark, there, and see how much distance Seeing the Moon put between himself and Lucky Lion.
11 lengths.
11 lengths.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's shaping up to be a good champion stakes, Irish champion
stakes. I think all of the autumn races are boiling up nicely. Mm. I think the Arc is going to be a fantastic race. I've judged the two Japanese horses in the Arc. I think there are big question marks over the market leaders for the Arc. See the Moon, obvious player, but I just think they're the forgotten horses of the race.
Yeah.
And they are going to win it sooner rather than later,
times, haven't they?
The Japanese.
There's something to look forward to at the end of the season. It will be another cracking renewal, I'm sure. We must move on though, Mick.
Mark, I just wanted to mention the fact that Philip Robinson joined his old boss Clyde Britton as assistant trainer, and I think that is a very interesting piece of news from a punting point of view, because they worked so well together as trainer and jockey, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be the same as trainer, assistant trainer. I would be keeping a very, very close eye on the Clyde Britton runners for the remainder of the turf season.
Yeah.
With Philip Robinson now installed as assistant trainer to Clive.
Yeah, very interesting. Good point. We'll leave that there then. That's the news for today. We're going to get Mick's thoughts on Friday's racing. He's picked three out at Haydock for us, so we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Friday then, the second day of the three-day meeting at Haydock, which culminates in the Sprint Cup on Saturday, and we're going to look at three races there. The first one that Mick's picked out is the 410, and this is a Class 4 handicap for three-year-olds and older, over 5 furlongs, 17 of them to pick from here. Mick, you picked a nice, easy race to start us
Absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I've gone sort of two selections, if you like, a main one and a sort of each wayer, if you like. So we'll go through the shortlist first, and I'll explain the thinking behind it. The obvious two to start with are Mr. Bond, or Master Bond, I beg his pardon, trained by David O'Mara. Danny Tudup taking the ride. He's in really good form, this horse. Only went down in the hat trick bid at Musselburgh. He's gone up another £2 for that. The concern, slight concern, is that day when he went for the hat trick bid, he had a £3 claimer on board. And Danny Tuddo, which is no bad thing from a jockeyship point of view, don't get me wrong. But so that was 81 with a £3 claimer. And he's now 83 with no claim, if you get my maths.
Yeah.
So it's just going to make the job a little bit harder for him. So the mark move back into the 80s is a slight concern. But as I say, it did shape at Musselburgh as if this these marks may not be on him. And he does come here in great form. And I wouldn't put anybody off backing him. He certainly makes the shortlist. Come on, Dave. Another one who comes here in great form. He went for the hat trick bid in the Void Epsom race, and his career stats are 7 from 33 over 5 furlongs, which, considering that these contests are meat and drink to him, that isn't a bad strike rate, because they're notoriously difficult to win.
Mm.
And Danny Muscott's 2 from 3 on him and 3rd on the other one. He looked held by his new mark at Epsom, I thought, but he still ran well in it. He wasn't beaten far, and I wouldn't again rule him out, but I think the market's going to have its say on those two.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just look outside the box a little bit. The main selection is going to be Apricot Sky, who's trained by Henry Candy. William Buick is on board. He's a pound low and then finishing 3rd of 6 behind Secret Missile at Newmarket last time. That was on softer ground, but I think this drier ground, and it is drying out at Haydock as we speak, and the forecast is set fair.
Yeah.
I think this will suit him a lot better, and it's still early days at 5 furlongs. I've only just sort of twigged that this could be his best trip.
Mm.
All his early runs were over 6th. This is only his 4th start at 5 furlongs, and I think there's more to come from him. And he's going to be a working man's price as well. And the one for the players only market is Typhos, who is £8 higher than his last win, which I think is holding him. But off of this mark, on his last two runs, he's only been beaten a combined total of 3 lengths in some very competitive sprints. And he looked the winner at 30. How he finished only 5th. I mean, 50 yards from home, he was 2 lengths clear, and then they just bounced on him, and he was out of the money. Could be the same story here, but he will give you a run for your money. And if you place only with 4, if we get a 4, as long as we don't get 2 non-runners or more, we should be okay, and hopefully can fall into the line in the top 4. So Typhos for the 4 for the place, and Apricot Sky the main selection mark.
Okay, good stuff. That's the 4.10 at Haydock then. Moving on to the 4.45 next, and this is a class 3 handicap for 3-year-olds and older over 7 furlongs, 12 of them in the lineup here, Mick. Not too much winning form to go on for a lot of these, but I suppose Pearl Nation arrives in pretty good nick, having won 2 of his last 3, but
he does.
It's tricky.
But he's into class 3 for the first time, and he's into the 80s as well, and he's been beaten all 3 runs in the 80s for his previous yard. But having said that, he's run well all 3 starts for his new connections, and you know, he's perfectly entitled to have a crack at class 3, the form he's in.
Mm.
But I just do think he might be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Your Art Is On Fire, he's going to be popular. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see him as the market leader. Coming back in triple furlong shouldn't pose a problem for him, and he does save some of his best efforts for here at Haydock. He's a pound lower than when a good second of 10 behind Cornrow over this track last time. He was demoted to 3rd. I thought that was unlucky. I think the other jockey was the one who was being naughty, trying to keep up a gap that wasn't there. But anyway, they blamed Joey Haynes, and he got demoted, and the other one got upgraded to 2nd. He's got plenty of players for him in the 80s. Hard to see him not being involved. Your Art Is On Fire. Jammy Guest, trained by George Margison. Tom Quigley takes the ride. Still lightly raced this horse. but yet to shine in three handicaps with a bit of a concern, has been listed place very highly tried as running group races, but still only that maiden win to its name. I want to keep an eye on, but I'm not going to make it the selection. The selection is going to be Secret Luck from the Ed McMahon Yard with Gibbo on board, Graham Gibbons. Excellent second of 10 behind My Name is Rio at Pontefract on his penultimate start, which was a big improvement on his seasonal reappearance. Did disappoint when he went to Ripon next time. Now that was his first visit to Ripon, and it's not every horse who takes to Ripon, so I'm going to forgive him that. And he's got a big chance on his Pontefract second, and also on his Newmarket win a year ago. That's really strong form, and he did win his maiden here on his debut. So the vote in that trappy enough 4:45 goes to Secret Luck.
Okay, Secret Luck then the selection there, and on to the 5:20 at Haydock. This is a class 3 handicap for 3-year-olds and older, over a mile and a quarter, and it doesn't get any easier, Mick. This is another one that's pretty tricky.
Well, it is, but I do think I'm going to have to go with the market here, Mark. I can't see I think the race is going to revolve around the 3-year-old Madeed, and he gets the weight for age allowance of £7. Been very unlucky not to have won already this year. He finished an excellent seventh in the Britannia at Royal Ascot. Finished second in the group that raced over on the far side. It wasn't the place to be all week, was it, at Royal Ascot? So that was a mighty run. Then he went to Glorious Goodwood. Bit keen for his own good that day, but still an excellent third. But the eye-catching race was the second behind the Corsican last time. Should have won that. Doing handstands, did everything wrong and managed to find one to beat him, but I don't think they'll make the same mistake this time. And although he's going to be short enough in what looks an open handicap, he just stands out for me, and I think Madeed is going to have to get the vote ennobled. That run last time, just too bad to be true. I'm blaming the soft ground for that, but he looked on the way back when finishing fourth at Sandown, and looked a bit unlucky in running as well. I'd say I'd blame the ground for that. Dangerous thing to do, I know. I suppose the biggest danger to Madeed might be Crockenbosch, who was trained by Eddie Giles. Good claim of that Bates, and takes the £3 off. He went up only two for that win at Sandown, where he showed a really good attitude, and I think that Bates's claim brings him right into it. He'd probably prefer the ground to be good or faster, which I think he's going to get, judging by the forecast and the way the clerk of the course is talking. So I think Crockenbosch might be the each way angle there, and the danger to Madeed, but Madeed, that form's too solid for me to ignore.
Yeah, it does look a cut above when you bring Royal Ascot and Glorious Goodwood form into it. And
brilliant runs, all three of them. And as I say, this is a perfect opportunity for him to open his account this season.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Mick, if you'll spin us through your three selections one more time.
Yeah, they're 4:10. I'm going to give the main vote to Apricot Sky, and for the place-only market, hoping that the 17 stand the ground. Typhus, hopefully, he can hit the four and reward place followers with a nice price. And in the 4:45, I like the look of Secret Luck. I'm forgiving him his run at Ripon last time. I don't probably think he didn't handle the track. He'll like Haydock much better, where he broke his maiden. And the 5:20 Madeed looks nap material, Mark.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
I will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Friday's racing at Haydock. You'll hear that and the rest of the day's action on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. We have Haydock, Chepstow, Newcastle in the afternoon, Musselburgh, Kempton and Kilbeggan in the evening. Ross Briley, Rory DeLaghi and Gareth Topham will be our team in the studio. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.